Alright, guys, so we'll start with the first Chazor Chabura for the final. We'll get going here. We'll start with the Gemara on Daf Chesam Amid Aleph, all in just one line on the bottom, turning to Chesam Beis. So the Gemara starts out, Amrav Nachman, Amrav Eskashli Ben Mane, says, Hibakash with this Mane, Vinyach Lamashkon, and he gives her a Mashkon. Mashkon La in a Mekudesh. She's not Mekudesh. Why Mane ain't Khan, Mashkon ain't Khan? We have the Mane is not here, and the Mashkon isn't here. So, based on this Gemara, this short line of Gemara, where are my sheets? So we had a machlokas. So I'm very new to this Chazara Chabura giving. So the mechila, we'll try and just do as many of these things just straight from the Chazara sheet, as opposed to running through the sugyas as usually gets done here. But we'll try and do as Rabbi said, we'll try and make a kugel of both. We'll try and make sure we can go through the sugi as well, and also try and hopefully get through some of the Chazara questions for the bechina. So we have a machlokas here, two-sided machlokas with two people on each side. We have the Ramban, the Rashba, and the Raivin and the Rashi. So let's read Rashi inside. Let's try and get as much as we can inside. So if you look at the top Rashi on Ches Mabez, it's Mana Einkan. What does the Rashi say? Hilkach. Therefore, Mashkon Eino Shav Klum Sheina Mashkon Matana. Rashi invokes the word here of Hilkach. So there's clearly a relationship here between the Mashkon and the Mana. So what's the lama in the Mekudesh is Lefi Ramban and the Rashba? Why and Ravi and the Rashi? So I believe the Rashba we said outside. I don't think the Rashba was any on the Mar Mekomo sheet. And what is some Nafkamina? So if you recall, we actually brought out a very fancy chart, Kedarkeinu Bakodesh. We did it in this big time chart. So we'll run through that chart and we'll try and explain it well. Let's pull up the chart here. Okay, so we had two two sheetas, Ramban and the Rashba, versus Rashi and the Ravid, and two Nafkaminas. So the Ramban and the Rashba are saying, and we'll go in Hebrew first, and then we'll bring it to the English. Afal pishachal shibud ala mashkon mikom makom mana inkan. He's saying that even though there's a shibud, there's some sort of, call it pre-existing connection that you have to that mashkon. However, the mana still isn't there. I'll explain what that means in a second. So therefore, inkan asinas kesef. We don't have a kesef, because even though there was that little bit of that relationship, we don't have kesef. So let's try and we'll get to that in a second as to what that means. And then the other side, the flip side here of Rashi and the Ravi, like I said, hilkach of mashkon and khan. So the way you can look at it like this is if you have a building and you just take out the foundation, that means the building is gone too, right? So if mashkon and khan, if there's no mashkon, then obviously there's no mana that can hinge on that. So that is those are the two shitas, and that's how we explain the line of the Gemara of mashkon ein kan and mana ein kan. So what's a nafkin? We have two nafkaminas actually that we brought out in shir. So let's discuss those for a minute. So the first nafkamina has to do with shlichus. Please don't write that down. That's not what's still going on this question. just making sure that you guys are actually paying attention. So two nafkaminas. Number one is Hayim Yochel is Chayev Matana Aydei Mesiyas Mashkon. No, there's nothing to do with Shlichus. Shlichus is the same. Because for those who think that the Bechina starts with Shlichus, just to make sure that you guys actually know that the Bechina starts from the beginning, from the middle of the semester.
Where's Ellie?
See, I'm trying to top him. Yes, no. There's nothing to do with Shlichus. Yes, here we go. The real Nafkamina is number one. Can you make a hischaivus matana? Can you obligate yourself to give a matana? I give a mashkon, and they say, all right, therefore, I now have to give a matana. I'm bound by this mashkon to give a matana, right? So according to the Ramban and the Rashba, all you have is a shivan nechasim. There's nothing else to go with that. So therefore, we say, let's get this in English, so we make it a little bit easier on all of us. Without a prior shivan haguf, take that back. According to the Ramban, all we have, is a shibud nechasim. Therefore, the chiyuv is in chal. But according to the Ravid, we need a shibud haguf mitchila, right? What do you do? You created a chayvus on yourself to give a matana. So according let's say it again. According to Rashi and the Ravid, once you create that chayvus, hilkach, therefore, we can say mana yesh kan. Because why did Rashi say in on the Gemara, mana ain kan, mashkan ain kan? Or other way around, mashkon ein oshava klum, she ein mashkon matana hilkach. Therefore, right, mashkon ein kan. Therefore, they work in tandem. But according to the other side of the machogas, the Ramban and the Rashba, there's no shibud. Therefore, there is a the shibud nechasim cannot bichal. We say, let's get that clear one more time. Ramban says we only have shibud nechasim, therefore the chiyuv is in chal. But according to the Rashba, once we have that, we have the shibud, therefore we're good. Everyone understand the nafkamina?
So the Rashba and the Ramban are saying no matter what, even if you have a shibud, in any case, this can never work. Whereas Rashi and the Ravid are saying, no, the reason why it doesn't work is because there's
Rashi and the Ravid are saying that there's a two-way relationship between the mashkon and the mana. Right, according to the other side is that it's really, yeah, we have trouble because there's never a shiva nechasim, so it would seem at face value that there really is no way that this can work. So that's nafka minam one, yeah.
Can you repeat one more time how the Rashba and the Ramban come out?
The Rashba and the Ramban come out that all we have here is a shiva nechasim. I mean, it seems on the face value that there's no real relationship between the shiva nechasim and the shiva mamon.
Therefore, since there's only shibud nechasim, there will not be a shibud mamon.
Right, and therefore the chiyuv is in chal. But according to the flip side, is that once you already have that, call it that foundation of shibud, then the shibud mana works.
That's
Rashi. And it doesn't work by kiddushin.
That's Rashi in the right. You have to create that. We'll get that's enough for me number two. We'll get to that in a second. All right. So the second afkamina is: can one be mekadesh isha with a mashkon if he first acquired his chayvus via sudar or shtar? So, like, for purposes of this, do you need an agreement in principle in order to affect the kiddushin? Like today, when people get engaged, there's no halachic ramifications with regards to either of the people. It's just it's an agreement in principle. That's really all it is. So, do you need a formal agreement beforehand? Let's say, all right, I am being mekadesh you, and by the way, just to make sure you know that I'm really serious about this. I'm going to give I'm holding the mashkon, or I acquire via suda or shtar, something like that. Do you have to do that, or does such a kamon be mekadesh like that? So according to the Ravid and Rashi, again, we have a prior shivus, so therefore the shibud money can work, because once I've already created some sort of a shivus to marry the girl, therefore I have this shibud nechasim. Now I can have shibud mamon as well. But according to the Ramban, we're still lacking kesef, because what? You're being mekadesh with a mashkon. And the mashkon, as we've discussed, and we'll discuss, is questionable whether or not you can be mekadesh. I mean, we discussed mekadesh b'milveh at great length in the first part of the semester, but it would seem that you also can't be mekadesh with a mashkon, because whether or not you actually have full ownership of that mashkon is something else that another discussion for a different time. So that everyone get that? That's
what's the difference between this nafkamina and the case of the Gemara? If the Gemara doesn't work, but the case Rashi.
Because the Gemara is just going straight. Hiskashi b'mana v'niach l'mashkon. That the case of the nafkamina is that you've created that shiva, that prior shiva. According to the Gemara, it would seem that you're just going straight up and saying, "All right, here hiskashi b'mana."
It's worse to be the kind of the mana than the kind of the mashkon according to Rashi.
Without any prior shibud.
I thought the mashkon was the shibud. You put in the shibud on the mashkon. The mashkon's the shibud on the mana. Isn't that how mashkon works? Doesn't shibud mean if I can't pay you the money, you get to keep the mashkon?
One second. Yeah, no, you're probably right. I'm probably wrong. All right. So any answer that I give you right now is not going to be clear. So we'll work on that. All right. So moving further in the sugya, we came to the Avin Miluim. The Avin Miluim took trouble with the Shita of the Ramban and the Rashba. So what was the Avin Miluim's question on this, and how can you miyashi this in two ways? So in a case of Matana, which was the first Nafkamina, if he said, I'll give him Matana, the Chiyuv wasn't Chal, right? So therefore, the mashkon isn't acquiring anything. We said that once we're missing that foundation, so therefore, the mashkon doesn't acquire. But why? Who mehecha tesi that shibin guf and shibin nechasim are tied to each other? Who said that there should be any sort of call it contractual relationship between the two? Why do they work in tandem? So I don't think we've never seen such a thing before. So the Avin Miluim raises a pretty obvious question and says, what is this and why are they tied to each other?
What is the shibin nechasim here would be?
That I have an obligation to give you something.
From the mashkon.
And shibud mana is the payment that I am now.
Mashkon creates the shibud nechasim. The mashkon creates what?
It seems that the mashkon would create a shibud mana. So the mashkon might be itself the shibud nechasim.
So you have to he's chayav to give. He already gave it.
He gave a mashkon, right? Yeah. There's an agreement.
Right.
Now I'm giving you the money. I've created a shibud mamon on myself via
from
the nechassim. That's I believe it works.
The question is, why are they related to each other?
Yeah, why are they related to?
Saying where? The whole point of the mashkon is that they're
related. No, but the question is, where do we ever see that in cases of shibud mana, that in order for shibud mana to work, you have to have some sort of shibud nechassim with it. Why can't I just obligate myself to give you money?
Why do you need a mashkon?
One, shibud nechassim means that you can take my collateral that I'm giving you if I fail to pay.
Right?
But whereas shibud mamon is the actual debt that you're creating. The two of them aren't necessarily linked. So I don't know what I'm saying. Why are they necessarily linked?
Right, thanks, Noah. So, two answers given. Number one, I believe it's the Avnei Melung is the first answer, and definitely Rav Shimon Shkup gives the second answer. So, number one is, Shibud Nechasim works like Arev on a Shibud HaGuf, right? Because if the person who has a Shibud HaGuf won't pay, what's going to pay up? Those Nechasim that I originally gave, that Mashkon. So what Rebbe called it a different venue, so to speak. That there's something else that can come in and basically back me up in the case that I can't pay back. But if you don't have a Shibud HaGuf, then there's no Shibud Nechasim to begin with.
Backs up the moment.
So if the Lova is Pater, then the Arev is Pater, right? If the borrower who's borrowing this money is Pater from paying back, then all the more so, the Arev, the guy who's backing the Lova, is also going to be Pater. So Rabbeinu Tam, just parenthetically, just to know, he comments and says that every Hischaivus Mamun, there's always two Shibudim. Seemingly, Shibud HaGuf and Shibud Nechasim. Just store that away, that's something to keep in mind. Number two is of Shimon Shkup. Says that both Shibudim, the Shibud HaGuf and the Shibud Nechasim, are Chal B'Bas Achas. That when I give a Shibud Nechasim, there's already a Shibud HaGuf that's right away created automatically. Because you would say, fine, when I give a Mashkon, okay, fine, I create a Shibud Nechasim, and now I'm dead, I got to pay back a Shibud HaGuf. Rav Shimon Shkup says no. The reason why they're always talked about together is because these two things, the Shibud HaGuf and the Shibud Nechasim, are both created at the time that I'm obligated to pay off that money. Just to put it in simpler terms, the Mesiras HaMashkon, when I give over that Mashkon to my debtor, or to my creditor, probably know this. What? Yeah, to the creditor, not... Yeah, Rav Shlomo. Okay, fine. For the Nativ Chevron here. Yes, one's spelled with a K, one's spelled with a C. But, yeah. So when I give over that mashkon to the creditor, at that point, full Shibud Marchal, and that's why they work together. So again, number one is that one backs the other. There's an Arev relationship here. And number two is that both Shibud Marchal together, and that's how the Avdi Milam explains the relationship between the Shibud HaGuf and the Shibud Nechasim. All right?
How does that answer the question of why do we assume they're connected? They're connected.
He's not necessarily they are connected. He's saying that they happen at
the same time.
Right, because that's what we could say. It's one fell swoop. It's not that, where are you coming from with this answer? It's that they both work together because they are contractually related. Because once I have one, that means the other one is automatically backing the other one. So once I have both, I need to have, they both are chal b'bas achas.
First answer is that one won't work without the other?
Yeah, what I'm saying, one is there to back the other. Alright?
Yep.
Ready, guys? Okay.
Right.
So then the Gemara went on and discussed the case of Kitchon B'Mashkon. If you're Mekadesh with the Mashkon, she's Mekudeshes. And the Gemara had established there that what's the case of the Mashkon? It's not a case of Mashkon D'Ide, it's Mashkon D'Acherim. Exactly. Mashkon D'Acherim. So, lots of shitas here as to how we're being Mekadesh, so let's discuss. So according to Rashi, What's he being Mekadesh with? Thank you. So Rashi says, Mashkon shel acherim, I am Mekadesh with the chov that comes along with the Mashkon. It's as if the Mashkon was acquired by the girl. I'm giving something that... Yeah, exactly. There's a monetary transfer here.
So it's as if she's...
She's acquiring something.
The money?
Or,
money or?
Yeah, I mean the chov, the money that would come out of that.
As if she's acquiring money, right?
Yeah, like the chov.
So now the Rashba brings up a very important concept in Kinyanim. and says that since the girl, since the Baal has a mitzvah kinyan in the mashkon, right? Mashkon essentially is not fully yours, right? Someone has claim to it.
Is it Rashba?
Yeah, this is the Rashba.
Achma?
So the Baal...
How does that work? You have a mixas.
Has a mixas kinyan. So within that mixas kinyan, within that small bit of ownership that you have, because why would we think that you can't be mekadesh with the mashkon? Just think logically.
You don't own it.
But if you have a mixas kinyan, all you need is a putas worth of kinyan in that mashkon.
The Baal in his mashkon.
Yes, the Baal has a mixas kinyan in the mashkon. So therefore, he's able to be mekadesh isha with that mashkon. But one caveat is that he's not allowed to sell it.
He didn't have enough shares.
Wait, I'm just... If he's giving the mashkon to her, it's as if she owns it now, right? But he keeps a mixas kinyan?
He has mixas kinyan. He transfers that mixas kinyan over to her.
As kiddushin.
There's monetary value to that mixas kinyan.
But didn't he fully owned it. Then he gave it to her, she fully owned it.
Okay, so what's wrong?
I'm asking. So what's the problem?
She fully owns his portion.
So if he keeps his portion, and then is Mekadesh with his portion? Yes.
But then it's not his portion anymore.
Exactly. So I don't understand the Rashba.
No. You're skipping a step.
I lent you money. You gave me a watch to make sure that you give the money back, and you only get the watch back once you pay back the money.
Okay.
So I have a stake in this watch now. It's not just your watch that I'm holding on to. I have a partial ownership in this, not a stake, a monetary ownership, partial ownership in the watch. Now I give the watch to the woman and say, I am Kedushin with the part of this watch that I own. Kedushin.
Yeah,
okay. Right? Yeah, I think you're just skipping a step.
Yeah, I
got
it.
You're good?
But doesn't have to be a
Shtamshis,
though.
Ah, so now you're Kesef Shel Shamshis, Kesef Shel Hanoah. So you're real. So I'm not sure how we can explain that, but maybe you just need Kesef Shel Hanoah. Right? Because I think didn't we see last in the first part of the semester that what? Not necessarily, it's the Hanoah that she gets.
Right.
Right? Not necessarily, do you need Kesef Shel Shamshis? Machlokas, but definitely a good point. So, this middle portion here of why Rashi doesn't want to explain like the Rashba, I'm a little bit confused on, so I don't want to say it and confuse anybody, so I think we'll move on just to the next part of the question is, what's the problem with Rashi? So the issue with Rashi is that, yeah?
Yeah.
Problem
with Rashi?
Yeah, so the problem with Rashi that we have is that Shtar Eschaivos, if you remember from, was it last half semester or last semester totally, Shtar Eschaivos doesn't work for Kiddushin, right? Sakan Kiddushin Michal, if you haven't removed anything from your Rishus. I do have a pencil, yes. So if you're not removing, again, if you're not removing anything from your Rishus, right, all you did is create his Chayvus. So the feet, let me get it for you, I'm sorry. So the feet Rashi, how does this Kiddushin work? So what do we say? We just have to answer that. Rashi says Shtar Eschaivos works for Kiddushin. We had this machlokas in again last semester with the Rashi and the Rashba. According to the Rashba, is that you mamash have to give out something from your shus. But according to Rashi, as long as you create his chayvus, that works for Kiddushin to bichal. Rashi assumes that you have to give something out of your property. Right. That's Pashup Shot is what the issue is. I remember what Sugi was saying.
Aren't you giving up something from your property though? Even though you couldn't do anything with the watch anyway, she can't either. I mean,
partially. I wouldn't say you're fully giving something up, right?
Yeah.
Because you still have that bit to give back.
Okay, he's already on Makasha Rashi.
Right, so why did Rashi not explain it to Rashi? Because the Rashba whole, I said, I was a little bit confused on this, but I think that I can try to piece things together based on the previous things that we learned. Said Rashi doesn't want to explain like the Rashba because Rashi all says, I just need a schaivus. Rashba says, I got to give something out.
Oh, no, I'm wrong. It's with Rashi. Rashi isn't giving anything. Rashi does not.
Right, yeah, Rashi does, yeah, that's why, yeah. Rashba is all about giving something out.
That's why when you're part owner.
Something is, yeah, you've got to be mafik from your shus. But according to Rashi, no. All you have to do is create his chayvus.
And then what's the question on Rashi?
Right, so the question on Rashi is, but wait a second. Shtar Eschaivos doesn't work for Kiddushin. Right? We saw that, I believe, on Daf Dalet, I think, or Daf Gimel. Right? Yeah. Kiddushin Bishtar. Amir Bekidusha Shtar, Piske Tosfos.
What?
Tab of Hayam and Aleph.
All
right. Tab of Hayam and Aleph it is. Yeah, yes. The Machogis. The Machogis Rashi Rashba is on Hayam and Aleph. The Machogis about Amir Bekidusha Kedushin is if you. Piske Tosfos that Rabbi discussed in Shir the other day.
Ayin Shum.
Ayin Shum, exactly. Ayin Shum. All
right. What does that mean exactly?
I wasn't. Okay, fine. So I'll explain. According to Rashi, and there's a Machogis Rashi and the Rashba, whether or not you need to actually, in order to affect Kedushin, do you have to just say, I'm giving up $20 of my money, or do I actually have to give out that money? No. So according to Rashi, he says, as long as I create a shibud on myself, a shtaris chayvus, that I have to pay out of my pocket, then that works to affect Kiddushin. But the Rashba says, no, that doesn't work. You actually have to give something, right? Does that make sense?
Makes sense.
Rashi says, as long as I create a chayvus on myself, Kiddushin works. Rashba says, no. Something's got to come out of... Yeah, something's got to come out of my rishus in order for it to work.
The Baal needs to lose something.
Yes, perfectly said. All right, so moving on. Shtar Eschaivus, according to Rashi. If you want afterwards, I could pull up the exact Lashon and all that based on last semester's Chazar.
Shtar HaMelech.
Yes?
What's the answer?
I just explained to you the answer.
Rashi doesn't want to say the Rashi because he holds Shtaris Chayvus is fine?
Yeah, Rashi holds Shtaris Chayvus is fine.
Oh, it's just not a problem. It was never an issue.
It was never an issue.
Oh, Rashi tells me.
If you want it, we can go through the Shtar HaMelech after.
Ray put the Shtar HaMelech in the...
I understand that. We can go through the Shtar HaMelech after if you want.
Inside?
I don't know if we... I don't think we saw the Shtar HaMelech inside.
The answer was Rashi just because holds his Chayvus does work.
Chayvus is enough. Shtekel Chazar from last semester.
Wonderful.
All right. So let's move on to Baal Chov Kona Mashkon. All right, a lot of Mashkon here.
So Rav Yitzchak.
Yes. Rav Yitzchak. Oh, so, on what is this hischaivus that the guy has, right? He's saying, the Baal Chov Kona Mashkon is chayiv b'achrayas ha-mashkon. What's this achrayas? What is this responsibility that I have? According to Rashi above Metziah and according to Tosos. So according to Rashi above Metziah, what's my ischayvus? Lekol mili, everything. Leschayev ba'onsin. That if something goes wrong, I am chayev. If there's a mishap, like dalal shomim, chayev ones. If something goes wrong, I'm chayev to. I have an achrayus to pay back the value of that loss. But Toso says no. I categorize this guy differently than Rashi. Toso says no. You're only kona the mashko unless chayev begneva v'aveda. Remember, there's pshia, ones, gneva, aveda.
Yeah.
Am I missing one?
Nope.
So right. It's only four things, right?
Yeah.
So he's saying that this shomer, that this guy who's in charge of the mashkon, is only chayev for geneva va'aveda, as opposed to Rashi above Metziah, which says the kol mili is chayev ba'onsin.
So you're only calling the mashkon if.
I mean, you're only a shomer on it, so to speak. That if something goes wrong, if there's ones, yeah, then I'm chayev to pay up for the ones. But other side, Tosa says no, just geneva va'aveda.
Isn't that the more machmer? Tosa says. More than
right. No.
It's not just Gneva Veda. It's more than
Onsen. No. No.
No. If you're only Chayav
and Onis. You're only Chayav and Onis as opposed to both Gneva Veda.
Yeah, it's more. You're Chayav and more if you're Chayav and Gneva Veda. If you're Chayav and Onsen, it's never going to happen. Is that the point?
I think you phrased the question. You might have misphrased the question the first time.
If Onsen says you're Chayav and Gneva Veda. Yeah, that's not just Gneva Veda.
Onsen
includes
Gneva Veda.
Includes. Right. Yeah, and Onsen.
Which are somewhat your fault.
Onsen isn't just tornado?
No.
No, I mean, Gneva Veda is if someone stole from you, so maybe you should have watched it better. But Onsen, if a hurricane comes up, chayv for that also, that's like a super fun. So seemingly at this point, right?
Onsen is
to be very, very bad.
Everything
super common.
Right, good?
Oh, that makes sense. I don't know why. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's... Sorry, I should have said that better.
That's our week. That's my
fault. We're only starting. Okay, so the Shach, what was the Shach's proof for this idea of Rashi? What did Rashi say? L'chol mili l'schayev v'onsen. So what's the proof? According to Rashi, it's a proof in the Lashon of Rashi. it says what? Bal Chov Kone Mashkon, which sounds like a full kinyan. And guess what? If it's a full kinyan, even onsen.
Right.
But Tosos, they were restricted. They said, Gnev Aveda. Rashi says that, those key words, Lechol Mili Leschayev Onsen. I'll just point it out inside. Where is this inside? Let's just try and...
The Shach brings this to
us? Yes, the Shach brings this as a proof.
Sounds like it's
full Kenyan. No, not the Rosh Hashiva. No. Sifsei Kohen, the Sifsei Kohen. Right, it's Rashi above Metzia, okay. Right, if anybody's looking more above Metzia here, we could point it out word for word inside. So that's the proof according to the Shach. Everyone gets the proof according to the Shach?
Yes.
Good.
By third.
All right, let's just flesh that out even more. The word Kona sounds what? I have a close connection to that item. And Rashi says even later on, remember we saw Daf Mem Zayin, Kididei, right? We saw that right in the beginning of the semester when we were discussing Mekadesh Meilva. This is Mo's Kididei or Mo's Shelah, right? So I say, Lishishoso, Rashi in Aramasach, Daf Mem Zayin, Kididei, it's like his. So that's the proof according to Shach for Rashi. So now we have two questions based on Shitas Rashi. So let's flesh those out. Let's get those clear. Number one, how can you be Chayv Onsen if you're not allowed to use the object? You're telling me that I own the object, can't use it? What does it mean Chayv Onsen I can't use the object? Pick one. Either I'm the owner or I'm a shomer.
Right,
Shomer
is not
Chayav Onsen. Right. Saying, if it's mine, then let me use it. If I'm not, then I'm just, then why are you telling me Kenyan?
Wow, it's good
question. Glad you agree. It's not my question.
Scum.
So the second question is like this. He's being Mekadesh with the Chov, but the Chov... It enables the woman to the chov that you have enables the woman to acquire that chov, right? We're transferring, we're doing a transfer of chov. But if the baal is like a baal in the mashkon, then why is he being mekadesh with the chov?
If he had the mixus kinyan,
right? If he has an ownership again, if according to Rashi, we said he has a kinyan gum or anyway, gemar ba metzia. Pi bays.
Right here.
If the
let's get this Rashi 100% clear. Here. Rashi says Shekona b'mashkan lekol mili l'chayv onsen. So if you're telling me that he owns it lekol mili, then why is he backed into a corner just to give the mashkon as to give that little bit of chov as his kiddushin with the whole thing, right? If I own a dollar bill, why not just give the dollar bill because I only own part of it? No, Rashi says if he's got a kinyan gomer, the chol mili.
If Baal is a kinyan in the mashkon, let him use it.
Right, but I would include the words the chol mili.
Extra points.
I'm not grading the machinas, but
the chol. You're not the shear system.
No.
Where are they?
He just carries the book.
Yeah, I'm just a book. I'm just the book carrier.
Like
I'm just the book schlepper.
Mister.
Okay, fine. So how do we answer it? The Grach Mashiach and the Yonas Elam, and if you remember the Yonas Elam, actually, I wish I had the actual. Hopefully, I have the Yonas Elam because he speaks in Yiddish, and I really appreciated that. Here it is, perfect. Right. In the mashkon lik derchov. We can sing and do whatever we want with that Yiddish, but if we don't understand it, then it's not ah.
It's pasnisht.
Yeah, exactly. It's pasnisht. So, according to the Grach, he's chayev ba'onsin not because he's the baal in the mashkon. So what? Let's explain that. In the mashkon lies the chov. If you lose that mashkon, guess what happens? You caused yourself a loss. The mashkon is the mechanism by which you transfer the schus gviya. Remember, you know, everyone knows what schus gviya means?
The ability to collect.
Yes, the ability to collect. So now, let's think back. How does that answer the question? How can you be chayv v'onten if you can't use the object? If it's not yours? Or, sorry, if it is? Yeah. So, I think the way we can answer that is that if you lose the object, like, then it's your bed. Like, that's your loss. So, you clearly have the ability to mekadesh with whatever that is that you're giving, because we said oh, what if you can't use the object, but you clearly have a kinyan in the object. The answer to the first question was how can be chayav onsen if he's not allowed to use the object,
right?
But it, apparently you might have the, if you lose it, then it's your issue. So even though you might not be able to use it, you still have some sort of monetary... I'm trying to explain how that the Yonas Elam is explaining the answer. I think it's more mistaber according to the second question. If the Baal is the Baal of Mashkan, why is he being Mekadosh Tehov?
But how's
he
answer the first question?
We'll get to that.
Second question first?
Yeah, well, I think we'll hit the second question first. Is that... What do we ask? He's being Mekadosh Tehov. But if the ball is like a bottom of the mashkom, why is he just being mekadesh with the chov? Because you don't have a... Shoot, I'm going to say this wrong.
Call friends.
No, just give me 1 second. To quote of Tversky, L'shem Amito Shal Torah, I just want to make sure I get this right. Singing again or something.
I was about to say that.
Alright, I'm going to say it wrong, so... We have to say no. Say.
Let's tackle both questions. Right? One question is why is he chayav onsen if he doesn't own the object?
The second question is if he does own the object, then how come he can't use the object itself? So Reb Chaim's explaining that it's not that he owns the object; it's that the mashkon is necessary in order for him to collect the debt that's attached to the mashkon, and therefore, in order for him to have access to that debt, he has to have the mashkon as well. But the mashkon isn't really his, and if we understand that the mashkon isn't his, that's why he's not really the owner, and that's why he's not using the mashkon itself, because the mashkon isn't his, and his chayav onsen because it's not he's not the owner of the object; it's really still somebody else's object. So I think that's how he's explaining.
Is that clear?
So we're just saying the Rashi's allowed to afkan, and when he says the chomili, it doesn't really mean...
It might not be the chomili. Right, so I think what Noah said is correct, so we'll leave it with... We'll stick with that. If we need any further clarification, we will...
Can I have one more? The kids are...
So he's saying that the ball is just buying the chov. The chov is the only way that you can get the chov is through the mashkon.
Right.
But he's not buying the mashkon. He's not interested in the mashkon itself. He's only interested in the chov, which is connected to the mashkon. So in order to gain access to that chov, he has to have the mashkon as well. But the mashkon isn't actually his. The only thing that's really his is the chov inside the mashkon. And so his chayav owns it because the mashkon itself isn't his. The mashkon is merely the mechanism that he's using to collect the chov. And so, and I think that Rashi from Staber, in addition to that, because Rashi is saying his chayav owns it whatever the lashon is exactly, because he is chayav owns it because it's not his object. So it makes a lot of sense that he would be required to pay for it in all situations because he's merely using it. It's
only his
chol.
It's only his chol. To hold on to the object, though.
It is, yeah.
So why do we have to make him chayav onsen?
He's not going to
lose it. He's going to be very careful with it.
Sure.
That's what we think.
Being chayav onsen is a reflection of the fact that it's not his. Right? It's a reflection of the lack of bias.
But Hashem Achidim is not chayav onsen. It's not his object either. There are different levels of Hashem. Not every Shom is chayav onsen. So I'm saying, like, what is it about this guy that he's chayav onsen, even though, like, there are a lot of Shom.
I don't think he's really chayav onsen. If he loses the object, he's not chayav onsen.
And then he can't be Mekadosh.
What?
Then he can't be Mekadosh.
Yeah, but... Yeah. This Chayav also means if anything happens, it's on his back. Oh, does he have to pay back? No, because he has it as a mashkel. He just loses his...
He loses his debt.
Yeah. It's like a theoretical Chayav.
It's not a mamash. It's a mitzis.
He's basically Chayav to pay. Yeah.
It's a mitzis.
Fine. The last one not always equal to the value of the chol.
No, you can't play.
All right, ready?
Give me $100. I give you my watch. You lose my watch. I'm going to prove it. Prove that I owe you.
All right. Okay. We're good?
Later.
Okay, fine. So sticking within the idea of Balchov Korna Mashkon, so Rav Yitzchak, what's his source? How do we know Balchov Korna Mashkon? So let's look at that. So we have a pasuk in the Torah. Tells us what? That's how we know Balchov can be Korna Mashkon. If you don't previously own the money, we don't call it tzedakah. Right? If I'm giving out a mashkon of money that I don't own, we technically don't call that tzedakah. Right? Ulechot tia tzedakah im Hashem alokecha. Where is that? Parshas Shoftim? Tavarim Chavdal. I think it's Kiseza.
Yeah.
Alright, fine.
So that pasuk proves to us that...
And if you want to be Mekadosh with a mashkon, it's got to be yours. Balchov Korna Mashkon is that Chotiyat Tzedakah, meaning that because once I give that thing, if I give it back, or if I give something of mine and we want to categorize that as Tzedakah, we got to call that it's mine. Okay. Tosos takes issue with this. And this is a lengthy idea, so let's get this clear and we'll take it a little slow. Tosos says, even if you don't own the mashkon properly, it's still called tzedakah. In what case? In the fact that you allow the person to sleep in it at night. Now let's explain the context of that. Someone is debted to me, right? I someone owes me money. So what do? I take his... This comes up, really, the first source of this is Parshas Mishpatim. I take his ksus. Either ksus yom or ksus laila. So if it's ksus laila, I'm allowed to hold it the entire day, and I have to give it back to him at night. So Tosus is saying that even if I don't own... You, Rashi, are saying that l'chotiyat tzedakah, in order for l'chotiyat tzedakah to work, I have to own the mashkon fully. I have to have full-on ownership in the object or in the money, whatever it is. But Tosus says, no. I'm giving you a clear case from the Torah that says you don't actually have to own it. The fact that you're giving him usage of it, that also constitutes tzedakah. The mashkon is technically not yours. His ksus laila doesn't belong to you. But still the Torah considers it tzedakah to give it back to the guy who owes you money. Okay.
It may not really belong.
Yeah, even though it doesn't fully belong to me, it's still categorized as tzedakah.
Is that his kasha?
That's his kasha. That's his question. Do you understand? Let me say the question
again.
Okay, I'll say it for the recording's sake. The question is like this: we want to say that the source for Balchov Korna Mashkon is l'chotiyat tzedakah, which implies that what you have full ownership in the mashkon, right? Therefore, in order to call it tzedakah, you have to have full ownership. But no, wait a second. We have a case in the Torah. It says if you give the guy back his ksus at night, you give him his tamshus, and the Torah categorizes that as tzedakah. So it clearly shows that what?
It doesn't really need to be yours.
Exactly. You don't really have to fully be yours.
Raya?
So, no, not Haraya. That's a question.
I said, what's the Raya?
What's the Raya? What's the Teretz?
The inflection is critical. Good question.
All right, so we have two answers.
I had the wrong number.
See, I could just drop a shlichus on you and you'll believe me.
Shlichus. No, I meant what's a parent. Based on what's him, you know.
Yeah, it's that Kiddushin Tzrichi Shuma.
How could it be?
Only if it's Shnevel Gabbasel.
Yeah, no. Kiddushin Tzrichi Shuma is not in this Bechina. Okay, fine. So two issues. All right.
I wrote down the whole sentence. Shlichus Nafkamina. I don't know if
I knew it would work. Okay, fine.
It's a hidden ball trick.
Yeah, okay, fine. So two answers. Number one is that the proof is not from the word Elucha. Rather, the proof is that the Lobe can give the Malva a bracha, because what do we say later on? Uverachaka. I can give a bracha. So what do we say? That if the Malva wouldn't be Kona the Mashkon, then the bracha would be Ribbis Devarim. Right? We discussed this.
That was good, yeah. I remember that now. That was good.
Yeah. So we run into a problem now of perhaps of possible ribbis. If the malve, you know, the lender doesn't fully acquire that mashkon, guess what happens? The lova gives him a bracha, and now what happens? That's ribbis tavar, right?
Yeah.
We have a problem with ribbis, so therefore we have to say, that, no.
He
fully owns it.
Yeah.
Right, yeah,
he fully owns it.
Tosos, your question is very nice, but otherwise you run into a problem of ribbis, and therefore I have to say that this is a case where the malve has full on acquisition of the mashkon. That's answer number one.
That was
number
that's
two. That's Tosas'
own, right?
That's
Tosas'
answer. No.
That's
Tosas' one. That's one Terrence. It's one Terrence.
So that he bring it here, fine.
Yeah.
Wait, why saying, is it full ownership? If he's full ownership, I thought that would imply.
No, but the Tosas is saying that we clearly see that you don't have full ownership in the mashkon, because right, because the guy has his rights to it every single night, so you don't have full ownership. So what are we saying? That the answer is that we have to say, Tosas is like, all right, great question, we have to say you have full ownership. You know why? Because if he doesn't have full ownership, we run into a case of ribbis devarim, because when the lova gets his thing back, you give the malve a bracha, like it says uverachecha in the pasuk. So and I think that's it. L'chati etzakim Hashem. I think that's the whole trajectory of the pasuk. Yeah, Hashi Yitzhashiv Lois Avot Kivah Hashemesh. Return his ksus laila, basically. V'shachav b'salmaseo, let him sleep in his garment. Uverachecha, and he'll bless you.
Well, why is that? If he is full, wouldn't it be that would be ribbis devarim if he is full?
No, because that means there's still some sort of debt going on. If the mama fully owns the mashkon, then that's kilu, the debt was paid back, and all right, shkoyo. But if the lova still has some money to pay back, that bracha that I get from the lova is almost considered like a ribbis. For the fact that I lent the lover money, he's paying me back the principal, plus the interest, quote unquote, is a bracha.
So wouldn't it be better if he was a partial owner?
No.
Why not?
Well, yeah, I just told you why not. Why not? I'll say it better. If he's not a full owner, that's ribbis, that's bad. Correct. We in order for like the case of Mashkon to work, yeah, I mean, it would be nice if he's a full owner, but he's not. Because the borrower always has that call back to the ksus laila, to that mashkon. So if he's a full owner, then great. Then the bracha that he gets from the lova, then every day he's basically, you know, it's the same transfer. That bracha becomes an issue because he's not a full owner. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
That if he's not I probably didn't say it the best way. Okay, so that's number one. Answer number two is that tzedakah is only if you give something of your own, right? If the Baal Chov isn't Kona Mashkon, then he isn't giving any form of tzedakah. So, we get that? Let's just settle on that for a second. Tzedakah is only if you give something of your own. So if the Baal Chov, again, isn't Kona the Mashkon, then he isn't giving any form of tzedakah. So then also that we might not be able to, like, then the proof might be gone also, right? We wanted to bring a proof of the L'chol Tiyat Tzedakah, so maybe that just might not be the proof. Good? Okay, so now we move on to, I believe it's Rav Chanan, right? So Rav Chanan wanted to make a diuk in Tosos. He's making a diuk, really, I believe, in Tosos' first answer. So what's going, what's the diuk? Anybody?
Yeah, you got it.
What's the diuk? Okay. The diuk is that Tosos holds ribbis devarim is ribbis d'oraisa. Right? Okay?
Yeah.
Simple. That's the diuk.
Oh, yeah.
Two questions on that. Number one, based on what we've learned previously about ribbis, what's one precondition for it something to be considered ribbis? Exactly. Noah. It's got to be ketsutza. In this case, is there any bit of ribbis ketsutza? Did anybody stipulate from the beginning? No. Nowhere in the Gemara, nowhere in Tosas, did we see that there was some sort of, you know, pre-agreement. So that's question number one. Question number two, So what's another reason why this shouldn't be in a Torah? What's another one of the conditions that we spoke about for ribbis? Someone said it. Right, exactly. Another precondition of ribbis is that the malva has to gain, but also the corollary to that is that the lova has to lose. But who's losing here? Is anybody losing?
Nope.
Seems to be the lova is getting his thing back every night. Right, he's not losing anything. All right, he loses his principle. That mashkon of his, he's not allowed to give a bracha. He gets his ksus back. This seems to be like a straight payback, $100 for $100. What's the problem? So two questions against Tosos. So here's the answer is, one answer to chop both questions. Tosos assumes like what we're forcing into a corner to say that even if it's not ksus of asava, it's still considered ribbis min haTorah. The same way, like we answered Farashi with the Vadis Chayvus.
Stam.
Tos doesn't hold like that.
Tosos holds even without Ksus is still
right. And also, Tarbis below Neshech is also Ribbis Min HaTorah. Even if the Lova doesn't lose, Tosos considers that also Ribbis Dorei. So Tosos L'shitasam. Isaac Seltzer brought this up in Shir when we did this. He explains very well based on how we saw Ribbis back in the Sugya last time.
Tosos doesn't hold that way.
What?
Torah just doesn't hold.
Yeah.
Those conditions.
Either one. Yeah. Either one of those conditions.
I love how I could just do that. You know.
Right. All right. Fine.
But you can.
Does everyone get that? Is that clear? That's like a mouthful of second answer. Yes. The second answer is that Tosos isn't beholden to either one of those two conditions.
What was the first answer?
First answer. Fine. First question. There's two questions. Is it diuk? Two questions, two answers. Is everyone clear on
first answer?
First answer. Fine. So the first answer is that. Oh, sorry. It's one answer. My bad. I'm sorry. One answer. All right. But just as an addendum, that the lechem abirim. Everyone have that?
Lechem abirim.
The lechem abirim.
It's not on here.
Good. You're paying attention.
Tough with these curveballs.
Lechem Abirim is in the back of the covets. I was looking through obscure Rishonim as to who to quote to make sure that everyone knows what we're talking about.
No.
The Lechem Abirim is one in the back. Okay, fine. So let's move on. Let's move on a little bit. We'll see. All right, a little pressed for time, but we'll move on and see how far we can get it. What time do we want to end? It's 2:07.
3:45.
I don't think that's going to work. Is everyone cool on 2:20? I'm gonna give everyone 10 minutes to get ready for Mincha.
Perfect.
For those who need to start Ashrei before they start in the Heights Lounge. Okay. Okay, fine. Hope this doesn't go up. Alright. Iskash Libe Manet. The philosopher is Zerok Tulayam and Mekudeshes. Now we're gonna move into the Sugyas. These next five questions are all basically in very similar Sugyas, so we'll if we're crazy, we can get through all of them in the next 12 minutes, but I don't think that anybody would understand the thing we say if we do that. So, the first case that the Gemara brought was Iskashli b'mana loss of a zirak to liyam ena mekudeshes. If it says, give me, be miskashmi with the mana, and guess what? He takes the thing. Sorry. Let's get that case again. Right. She takes it. Not loss of a zirak to liyam.
Ah.
Ain't a mikudesh.
6:43.
6:43. So let's hold on. Let's just make sure. Yeah. Fine. Right. So why ain't a mikudesh? Why is she not mikudesh? Because perhaps what do we say? Ulay betchila nesratza ish haish lekedushin v'akach achazurba. Her demonstration of throwing the kedushin in the thing. What does that show? Why, you know, maybe she knew. I'm saying right. We'll get to that in a second. That's one of the answers. But why? Her demonstration, maybe it's like, you know, the color war baseball throw. Who, you know, why is her throwing it into the yam? Show any bit of demonstration to the fact she doesn't want kedushin. So we have over here the Meiri and Chacham Tzvi. So Meiri says like this: it's not enough that netzlosa. It's not enough that you just take it. What do we need? As the Jamatul just said,
6:43.
Netzlosa bekas. You need to be angry, even if it was after Kedei Dibur, right? We've had discussions plenty for Kedei Dibur. Her throwing still demonstrates her opposition to the Kedushin, even if it was after Kedei Dibur. Because what? Her kas was the demonstration. The timing, all right. The timing is the timing, but it's the kas that really shows.
So, the double play wasn't for the Meiri?
No, it is. Oh. So how do Miad and kas come together? If she doesn't throw Miad, what does the kas demonstrate? The throwing needs to be b'chadei haro'oilo.
That's Meiri.
Yeah. The Meiri. This is the Meiri.
Okay, fine.
The Meiri says the kas and Miad work in tandem, not literally Miad. B'chadei haro'oilo. In the circumstance that we would be able to evaluate and assume that she's doing it out of anger, not out of anything else. All right?
Double play.
Okay. Beautiful.
I have a remez. Meiri or don't is.
No,
I like it.
His
short stuff.
Yes, beautiful. Okay, Chacham Tzvi. Let's move on to the Chacham Tzvi. All right, whatever works. Chacham Tzvi holds a little differently than Meiri. The Chacham Tzvi says not about zeraktzo b'kas, rather it's b'tok kedei dibur. This is b'pashas also shitas Rashi. Even though she didn't take the b'kas, her throwing tok kedei dibur demonstrates her opposition to the kiddushin. All right. So we have the Meiri, as Berger said, is the double play, is the Miyad and the Kas. Here it's Toki de Dibor. If she throws a Toki de Dibor, whether or not it has to do... Yeah, it's nothing to do with Kas. Let's get that straight also. There's different issues here. The Meiri invokes both. And the Chacham Tzvi says, no, it's just about the... about Toki de Dibor. So what's the question on that? We've learned this sugya plenty of times. The Gemara Nadarim, the Ran.
Kedushin.
Beautiful, exactly.
Yachol,
exactly, right. Tokede Dibor. Don't we know that Kedushin is one of the four exceptions to Tokede Dibor?
Yeah.
So how does Tokede Dibor work? Once you had accepted Kedushin, who says that this Tokede Dibor thing works? So, Enfred, the Halakha Machne, was the Machne answer. He says, no. There's a fundamental understanding of Tokede Dibor, and the Tokede Dibor, when do we say that this thing doesn't, you know, is one of the four exceptions? That's below Maisa. We only say ein tok de dibur if the chazara is with dibur. It's if I say, no, I was kidding. But if the chazara is with a Maisa, that philosopher is a rakta liyam. I throw it into the sea, or I throw it into the river, the chazara is moel. All right? Does everyone get that answer? I think it's sharp by the machne. Just parenthetically, a idea. I don't think this is on the sheet, but if it is, it's not on the sheet. But the Riyaz Zakein might actually have a third sheet on this. Why is it? She's Anna Mekudesh because her indication is that she doesn't want it. All right? You need Zrika Miyad because otherwise you don't know how to interpret her Kas. Throwing away immediately proves a Hemshech of the Natila Bekas. That's the sheet of the Riyaz Zakein. Tuck that away, store that away for reading week when you guys go over everything inside. Okay, just make sure you have that. We'll try and go through one more.
What about here. The Riyazakin?
What?
What about the Riyazakin there?
I said the Riyazakin is a parenthetical. Saying it's not on the sheet; it's the idea. Just something that I figured it would be good to share.
The Riyazakin, how both Togedi Dibor and because without Togedi Dibor we wouldn't know about.
Right, we wouldn't know about Kass. It's very similar to the Meiri, right?
Very similar
to
the Machna,
to the
Meiri.
No, to the Meiri. The Machna, no, let's not get confused.
So the Riyazakin is not an answer to...
No, I just said parenthetically. It's a idea. The Riyazakin.
It's not on the sheet.
Perhaps it's a third... Well, we had two sheets. It's not on the sheet. I
so
preface by saying...
To
the answer of the question about Tokede Dibor?
Yeah.
Is that Tokede Dibor... When do we say Tokede Dibor doesn't work for Kedushin? That's when your retraction is done with Dibor. Say, all right, yeah, but Kedushin is doing it. Yeah, great, everything good. And then, actually, no, I take that back.
That's the
Riyazakin. Right? No, that's no. Not. I'm just answering up again for Jacob. Just wanted to know what the answer was according to the Machna. Forget.
Yeah.
Let's put away the
Riyazakin.
Put away the Riyazakin. It's the third sheeta. If you want, it would go Meiri Chacham Tzvi Riyazakin. Okay. The Meiri, the way the Machna answers up the question on the Chacham Tzvi is that. Yet there's fundamental difference between Tokedei Dibor Chazara with Dibor and Tokedei Dibor Chazara with Maisa. So Chazara with Dibor, that's not Moel. That doesn't work. You can't be Chozer Tokedei Dibor with just saying, no, I was kidding, I don't want this. But if your Chazara is done with a Maisa, you actually do an act of demonstration, that makes your Chazara Moel. And that's why the case here works of Tokedei Dibor, according to the Chacham Tzvi. That if you throw the thing, if you throw your thing, your if you throw the kiddushin, the money into the sea, B'tok de dibur, that's a maisa, that's moil, as opposed to dibur, where you're not allowed to retract just with word. All right?
If somebody gives a get and lights the get on fire, it goes back?
That's a different story, because once you recabble the get, that...
So that went to recabble kedusha.
I guess. I mean, I'm one of those. They would say low b'ki b'tiv kidney kedusha. I don't know the answer. So
when the time's right.
So you're gonna somebody gives a get and lights on fire. The mic's on.
Right. Like, is everyone good? Is that we'll stop here? Is that good? Everyone good?
Sure.
All right. Sorry for the if this is a little bit choppy. I only found out about this like 10 o'clock this morning, so whatever it is, Shkoya, Shabbos Kodesh is coming. Everyone has Zohar and Chazor, and feel free to come with any questions.